we go.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Luke was a killer. First time that I saw him, wonder how many girls he had left and left haunted. But if he's a ghost, then I can be a phantom, holding him for ransom. Some boys are trying too hard. He don't try at all.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's me, Mike. And I'm like a dog, just for you. So we can talk together about whatever's on my mind. This time it's gonna be Liverpool losing triumphantly. I don't know, I thought I'd talk about it. I have like all these ideas. I have like 50,000 ideas for columns about the Liverpool losing 3-1 in the Champions League final. I have these brilliant world-changing ideas. I've been smoking a lot of weed. I'm not gonna lie. Sorry, Sam. Hey, dog. But, yeah, no, I got all these ideas. I feel inspired. It was so odd. Again, it's the drugs. I think it's a lot of it's the drugs. Let's be honest here. But, I think it's tapped me into the collective consciousness more, right? So Liverpool lost, which obviously sucks for me, because I supported them, and I liked them. But it was such a damnably weird game, where, like, you lose, and it's not like you got screwed. It's not like Liverpool's a victim to some conspiracy or something. But at the same time, like, nobody looks at how they played and goes, boy, they really came up short. Like, what they did is they basically clearly, like, I thought they showed over the totality of the game, like, when everything was normal, Liverpool were on the level. Like, the first 20-some-odd minutes, basically up until Salah fucking breaks his shoulder or whatever, Liverpool were the better team. They're creating better chances, they were dictating the play, pace of the play, and they were doing their game, this kind of relentless just wave after wave after wave of attacking pressure. And to get Madrid's credit, that they are set up with these super talents. Like, that's the thing I really noticed is it really was Liverpool's collective against Madrid's individuals. Because, like, Madrid, you know, they're not moving as much. It's just like, where, like, Liverpool have to be like, look, we're going to try to get a 2-on-1 so we can get past this guy, where, like, you know, like how you normally do things, right? Like, you try to, you know, tag team people. Successful soccer is like successful, yeah, you know. University sex when she's unconscious. Huh? I was going to say subconscious, but that would have been weird. Really weird. Huh. But yeah, no, they would just be like, "Eh, now go ahead, take them on 1-on-1," or they would just be out of position a lot. I saw, for some reason, like really watching, I think again, it was the drugs. I felt like for like first time in my life, I was like, "Wow, I'm really, really, really getting things." Anyways, like I thought that's what sucks about the game. You know, Mohamed Salah goes down, and immediately you just go, "Oh fuck!" And the fucking wind goes out of the sails of Liverpool. Like, my heart just drops. I was just like, what the fuck? And, sure, I mean, you're losing arguably the greatest, the best player on the planet right now, right? Like, you know, I mean, everybody says Messi, Ronaldo. But Salah, what he did in a tough league, week in and week out, all manner of attempts and just the way he played, you just gotta be like, again, you can argue that he's the best in the world right now. Very limited scope, you know, narrowing our frame of reference. But whatever, he's one of the best. Top, I think he'd be inarguably top 5 in the world. And, you know, Liverpool lose him. obviously they built, the key, and I think it says a lot actually about the team, the squad, is that they're not built around Salah. Like, in a certain respect, you could see the way that Madrid are set up. They're not that they're built around Ronaldo, but they are, they play formations and they play style, I think, with him in mind. And I guess, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody, you know, every coach is going to some degree, I think, tailor their formations around their personnel. You know, if you've got the world's greatest striker and the world's worst defender, well, you're gonna switch it up as opposed to if you got the flip of that. But again, either way, Mohamed Salah, a hugely important player for the team. But they play well without him. But still, like, you don't want to lose your player. And look, you lose one of the best players in the world, that's going to fuck up your team. It doesn't matter who you are. But Liverpool, you know, they're not, it wasn't like it was a situation where it was just like guaranteed, like, ah, fuck, like, truly, there is no hope for this squad. Although it did feel like that. But again, it felt like that because we're talking maybe the best player in the world. If you took Messi out of Barcelona, they would still go, oh, fuck, we lost Messi. Like, it would change things. They would still be a squad with as fucking deep as you can get. Same with Madrid losing Ronaldo or whatever. I mean, they're fucking bringing Bale in the 60th minute. Like, what the fuck? But those aren't real. Those aren't normal squads. And again, they still would feel the loss of a Messi. So yeah, you lose one of your best players, it's going to screw with you. And it being against Ramos, who's just whatever. I mean, come on, whatever. At the very least, you should have caught a yellow for that shit. I don't want to say you got a red. It looked like kind of one of those professionally dirty plays where, you know, that shit happens all the time in games. And I don't think he was trying to injure him, but I mean, it was just devastating for the squad. Nothing against Adam Lallana. Before the season started, Adam Lallana was one of my favorite players. Like, I was like all on Lallana. Like, I thought that he came alive under Klopp. I thought Klopp's style and formations and what he asks of his players just suited Lallana. Lallana's a hard worker, was good and fast and technical and all this stuff. Like, it's like that's exactly what Klopp needs. And fortunately, he's basically missed the whole season, though, for injury. And if you take a guy who, you know, again, talented, sure, but he's a kind of rhythm player. Lallana's the kind of guy that needs lots of reps. You need to get him regular work. As opposed to, again, Cristiano Ronaldo, where Ronaldo could be out for 2 months, come off the bench, and do what he does. Because what he does now is does the greatest, it becomes the best in the world for shorter and shorter bursts of time, but he can still do it. He just has shorter bursts. Lallana doesn't have that. But he played well enough, but as a layman here, gay man, but you know, as a layman, like, looking at it, there was a couple of times, and there was this one that really stands out, when we had just taken possession in the middle, a little bit over the halfway line of the midfield, and instead of breaking and screaming towards the net, like we usually do, and you just kind of feel that roar of people just going, oh, and you go, fuck yeah, here it comes, man. Like, fucking here it comes. Like, we're doing this shit. We're just like, what do we do? Firmino's he's a god. Salah's a god. Mane's a god. It's like, oh my gosh, this is really out of fuck. This is really intense, man. I think he made it to a lateral pass. It wasn't like, it didn't kill the game. It's not like in that moment he gave the ball away or anything like that. But instead of kind of having that natural flow, and I think that's something that would come with just more game experience. He would get a feel and he would understand, like, this is kind of how things were done now. And then there was another time, actually, when somebody made a pass down and towards the goal, kind of the goal line, down the fucking end zone. I'm going to call it the end zone. And Mane was running, and he ran, overstepped the ball, and back-heeled it to try to keep it in play. And he actually would have, if somebody had been trailing him, it would have actually been a pretty, really cool pass. It would have been a cool pass. You always know you're listening to quality analysis when it's not like, it would have been a very appropriate pass for a successful pass, very, very good pass. No, it would have been very cool. Did it help you?
No, but it's cool looking.
Dumbass. Josh, what a dumb shit I am, huh? It would have been a very a good pass, though. If somebody had been trailing, and behind him was Lallana, and Lallana was several yards behind, and it didn't seem like he was breaking right away. Now, that's not to say that Salah would have, for sure, but I've seen him do that, and just felt, again, it just felt like little bits like that, where you're just like, yep, they're waiting on instinct with somebody else, and it's a shame. I mean, it really is a shame, and yes, I say this as a supporter, but I think it's a shame to football fans in general. You always want to see everybody at their best. And, like, especially recently, I really did feel like Liverpool was at its best, especially offensively, you know, top to bottom. And I think this game actually showed it. Because here's the thing, with the exception of Karius, which you get to, like, everybody pretty much played well. At one point, I was, like, sitting there going, they were like, you know, maybe bring in Emery Chan for some fresh legs. I'm like, yeah, but who would he replace? Because I just felt like everybody was doing a really good job, and I couldn't fault anyone's performance, except for Karius in two very obvious ways. But otherwise, like, again, Andy Robertson, I mean, my gosh, I love him. The one time he tracked back and he just ran and ran, didn't give up and stopped Ronaldo from scoring, would have been a for sure goal. His work rate's great. I mean, he's just so hardworking. Trent Alexander didn't have team net problems at all. Dejan Lovren was great. I thought he and Trent, essentially, I mean, Ronaldo wasn't in this game. Neither was Karim Benzema. But, like, Ronaldo didn't do shit. He didn't really have, he had, like, one attempted header. And he's offside. Otherwise, you know, I saw Lovren shutting him down. Like, the first, like, 30 seconds of the game, Lovren come and just fucking blast Ronaldo, sits him right on his ass. Clean challenge, all this stuff, just kind of, you know, hip-checked him out of the way. Then get no call, again, clean. And it was just kind of like early on, he was like saying, like, fuck you, pretty boy, you want to go? I'm Dejan fucking Lovren. Van Dijk was great as all. I mean, he didn't make any mistakes. The middle three were, you know, it went from very good to, I mean, it just seemed like you see a lot of the interceptions, a lot of those guys running around. And I thought Wijnaldum in particular made made quite a few runs in. Like, he seemed to be charging forward. And, again, that's been a missing element since Ox went down, I think. We just haven't had that presence that goes forward. And funny, because while we look at Wijnaldum for doing that, and I thought he actually did that okay today, he's actually been better playing deeper. But he seemed to be everywhere. Milder's always, I mean, I think Milder is one of those, it's like Andy Robertson, I think it's because he's white. But you just see him, you go, you know this dude put in a shift. And he'll get beat sometimes, but he can compete at this level because he just doesn't quit. And Henderson was fine. Like, I didn't see any glaring problems there in midfield. And up front, I mean, Mane played a fucking phenomenal game. Had one, could have had two or three. Salah was playing great before he got, you know, injured. And Bobby was outstanding. I mean, Roberto Firmino, he's by far my favorite player right now. That dude is so fucking good. He's deceptively big. He's always in the right place at the right time. He does everything very, very well. For anybody in the world that listens to this far and hears this part, I know this is a little crazy, and it's not totally true, but he's almost the Mike Trout of football. The way, I mean, his work, it's like you get to play a 4-4-2 in defense and a 4-3-3 going forward. It really, the way he runs and gets everywhere. And again, he just is always there, and it always seems to work. Right time, right place, right move, right decision. He has such incredible technical skill. The only closest thing he had to a mistake was he could have found Salah, I think, who would have had maybe a better angle on goal on the one big shot that he missed. Well, he got blocked, but still, you can't really fault the guy for going for it. And, yeah, I think he's so good and so underrated. And I know, like, he's underrated to the point where everybody's probably heard, like, we get it, Liverpool fans, you think he's underrated. We know why. We still would rather have Harry Kane. Because you're fucking stupid. And I get why, but there's no excuse for being outthought on the work when it comes to football by an American walking a puggle and ignoring his doggy's poops, who has been stoned now for 7 straight hours. And in that time, I went to church, I watched Liverpool, went to church, bought groceries, watched 2 episodes of Legion, a little bit of basketball. Now I'm doing this. But yeah, the team overall was very good. They seemed to really be playing well. They were sharp. I thought they came into the game sharp. I think we show that when we have just a little bit of a rest, we're a really damn good team. And by the way, I watched a lot of Naby Keita footage yesterday and today, actually. And some Nabil Fakir. God, we're going after a Frenchman by the name of Fucker, who's starting for that fucking, I don't know if his squad could be made, that 23-man squad to go to Russia. And a fucking Frenchman, they are, that's one deep fucking country. Like, I need a couple days to reset myself to get ready for World Cup, but, yeah. Anyways, yeah, we throw Naby Keita, we're going to have a great midfield. I mean, we're going to be like one of these people where you go, oh, shit. Like, because we have world-class everywhere. Van Dijk is world-class. I bet Naby Keita, he's going to show and everybody's going to go, oh, fuck, they did it again. Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. I got lost in the game. Ooh, baby, baby. I'm so wrecking love. And I want to be above. I'm not that innocent. Yeah, anyways. So yeah, we'll just be really good. Anyway, so yeah, to close this podcast up, because I got like part of a block to go. Let me get to Karius, who, with the exception of 2 big mistakes, was actually pretty fucking good. He made some really good saves where you go, fuck, man, that's the dude. That's like where people are going to go, fuck, they got a really good keeper we didn't know about. Like, shit. Like, but then he had the fucking, he tried to just chuck that, release the one ball, and Benzema just stuck his foot out like you see 1,000 times. The goalie's just trying to roll it out. Somehow he hit the fucking foot and the ball goes in the goal. You couldn't do it if you tried. In a million, you just look at it, you go, shit, man, I'm sorry. Like, you don't really blame him. You just go, this shit happens. And then the one that sealed it when Liverpool was only down 2-1, but they had just had a couple really great chances, opportunities, attempts on goal. Mane hit the post. They seemed kind of be finding the groove. You're like going, oh, fuck, they might, like, I have a feeling going, we're going to tie it up. And then, you know, Bale kicks it right at Karius, and it hits him right in the hands and just goes right through him into the goal. It was baffling. There's a really good chance that most people in the crowd would have stopped it in that situation, which is not to take anything away from the fact that, you know, stopping something that hard hit and everything, like, that is actually still a pretty impressive feat, but there's no way any keeper in the world should be in the fucking Champions League and have that happen. That does not happen to Oblak. It does not happen to Alisson. It does not happen to De Gea. It doesn't happen to Butland, who's going to probably get the gig. I'd prefer Oblak, but whatever. So yeah, I mean, and then, of course, actually the goal that was the game winner was Christian Bale hitting a bicycle kick. And it is a kick that, it was impossible. The kick defied everything you know about how the world works. You're aware that these guys are super great at what they do, but in the biggest game he'll ever play maybe in his life, the ball is crossed in. It goes behind him. It's in a place where nobody in the world pretty much could score. I don't know if any man on earth, maybe one or two boot, maybe, could have scored a goal there. But Bale was able to turn, twist, and do a bicycle kick and slam that fucker home. Just looking at it, we realize what is at stake. Immediately, I'm going, that's the greatest goal of all time. But I don't know his football that well, right? And then they started talking afterwards, greatest goal for Champions League history, all this stuff. And it's just like, it was astonishing. So Liverpool, again, they played well. They didn't overwhelm, per se, but they showed that they could hang, that their style worked, that they lost their best player. They had one of the great, maybe the greatest goal of all time scored against them. Then they had two once-in-a-million-billion-years goaltender fuck-ups. It was just like, after it was over, I'm just like, this is what Madrid does. This is what makes you a great team. Great teams are the ones that do win. That they, things break their way. I get it. That happens. I'm fine with it. I can acknowledge that. But this is some weird shit, man. I mean, this is a lot. Just these mistakes are so out of control. I know, guys like Bale, yeah, that happens because they hit the ball so hard and all this stuff. But still, come on. Everybody watching that just goes, oh my gosh. Nobody sees anything like that. And again, the rest of the team was good. Karius was good. Really, except for that. It's just this kind of like saying, like, you know, like I was really faithful, except for that time I killed her. Ow. Oh, there you go. Oh. Huh. Well, I broke the door. All right, everyone. Let's try to avoid that, everybody. So, yeah, that's Mike's Liverpool loses the Champions League recap. I don't know if it was any good. Whatever it was, thanks for listening to it. I'll be back with a real show very soon, I'm sure. Thanks. Yeah.
It's Anfield's turn now to sing football's most famous anthem.